Trending Mobile Technology, episode 99, hosted right here on the TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. And what is up there, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to another round of Trending Mobile Technology with your host, right here, the mobile guy with the mobile studio on the mobile station, taking everything to the next level and just being mobile. As always, I am your mobile host, Piper the DJ, right here, proudly on the TrendingTopicsNetwork.com, bringing you what's hot and what's not on the mobile scene. Now, for those keeping track, yes, I did take a couple weeks off, and I do apologize, but midterms snuck up on me and seriously kicked my ass. But I am back with you with some great news, and it is no fault, actually it's no coincidence really, that Mobile World Congress is going on as we speak in Barcelona, Spain. I've got some people getting on me because I'm calling it Barcelona instead of Barcelona. I'm American, sorry, so we have hard S's. There's a reason why it's the hardest language to learn, but anyhow, moving forward. So in Barcelona, we got a lot of neat stuff going over there, and I will definitely get into some various other things of that nature. But first off, really quick, contact information. Look me up, Gmail, Twitter, Google+, Piper the DJ. That's the handle. That's how you can get a hold of me. Send me an email, send me a tweet, look me up on Hangouts, send me something on Google+. It doesn't matter. Perfectly fine, not a problem at all. Matter of fact, I do have some feedback today that's a little bit comical, which I'll be getting into later on. But above all else, that is the easiest way to get a hold of me. Now, jumping right into it, quite a few different things have happened over the past few weeks, and I understand that there's some big stories that have come out that I might have missed over the past couple weeks. And if there's something that you want me to touch on, something that you want me to break down, go over, things of that nature, reach out and let me know, okay? I will bring it up. I do have 7 or 8 stories I'm going to be going over today, just in order to do my due and get it done, get it taken care of, things of that nature, stories that I found of interest. Now, before we get too carried away, I'm getting a lot of email from people asking me to compare one device to another, and I could spend my entire life comparing one device to another, spec for spec, operating system for operating system, camera versus camera versus whatever, okay? That's really hard to do because I honestly am a little bit biased. Now, I can put it spec for spec and break it down that way and give you a probably superior device. But all in all, you know, if you're comparing operating system, and I've gone over this before, if you're comparing one operating system to another, it's kind of hard to do because, once again, thank you, Brian, you have to ask yourself what you want your device to do, okay? So for those of you that are asking me to compare the iPhone 6 to the Nexus 6 or the HTC device to the Samsung device, please stop, okay? I will break down the new devices as they come out and as I'm made aware of them. But as far as comparing one device to another, I'll give a general popularity like I did a couple weeks ago where I broke down Samsung devices, middle, high-end, and super high-end devices, you know, citing what overall popularity and buzz is for them. And I can do that without any problem. But comparing one device to another, it's better off for me just to do a popularity poll and move on from there. Now, as I did say at the top of the show, folks, Mobile World Congress is going on right now, and bright and early, Samsung took the event. They came in with a, quote, straight-edge presentation, unquote. For those of you that are wrestling enthusiasts that are out there, no, CM Punk was not at this event, okay? J.K. Chin took the stage, and overall impression, it was a very futuristic keynote. They cut out all of the Broadway madness that they've done in the past, all the overacting, the excitement, the stages, and things of that nature. They just kept it really simple, very simple. And as I was watching this, I even decided to create a drinking game, and I don't even drink. Relentless innovation is the common theme for the Samsung Galaxy S6, okay? Relentless innovation. J.K. Chin, president and CEO of Samsung, took the stage, and he in his opening dialogue, said, "I apologize, I do not speak English very well," which is true. Okay, over the past many years, I've had a little bit of difficulty understanding him, but he does not speak very good English. Why? Because he speaks engineering. Okay, so Samsung now is to a point where they are, quote, relentlessly innovating, end quote. Okay, they've got a brand new engineering design, a brand new engineering team. They've engineered the metal slash glass design for the phone. They released the Galaxy S6 and the S6 Edge. Side note, no discussion as to the Note on this particular point. But they've classified this as, quote, the most advanced smartphone in the world, unquote. This is the only device that's going to be coming out with Samsung Pay, which is going to, in this particular case, it's going to trump the iPhone. For the simple fact that iPhone with Apple Pay is currently on the upswing, this is going to be Samsung Pay, which is going to be compatible with more, okay? It's going to be compatible with Google Wallet. It's going to be compatible with any of your debit cards. It's going to be compatible with anything that's got NFC. Instead of having to have a proprietary kiosk to utilize your phone like the Apple Pay does, Samsung Pay is compatible with any and all devices. Now, they continue to go on citing with relentless innovation. As I said, we're 10 minutes in, and I heard him say it quite a few different times. A couple downsides to the S6 and the S6 Edge. You are looking at a non-removable battery with this device. Additionally, there is no SD card, but it does come up into 128 gig flavors. So if that is something that perks your fancy, that is definitely something that you have working in your favor. There's a built-in two styles of wireless charging. There's the Qi charging, which is the 15 mAh requirement, and then the new inductive charging, which came out not too long ago. Both of those cores will be built into the S6 and the S6 Edge, as well as quick charging capability. With a 10-minute charge, you will get up to 4 hours of standard usage. Now, we all know the reality of this. Standard usage varies from person to person. Some people will get 12 hours out of a 4-hour charge. Other people will get various other things. You know, it depends on your use case, okay? But it will have a quick charger available for it to be able to incorporate into your ecosystem. If it's anything like the Nexus 6, the Nexus 6 has a proprietary quick charger that you have to use if you want to utilize quick charging. Now, typically, I take mine home and I plug it into my 1.8 charger overnight because I don't have a problem. But if I have a situation where last night is a prime example, I went home from school, I didn't feel well, I was stuck in a cold for all day, I had an extremely long day, I went and laid down early, and before I knew it, I was asleep. And the next thing I know, it's 5 o'clock in the morning. Time for me to start thinking about getting up and getting ready for school. My phone hadn't been on the charger. I slapped it on the quick charger today. It had a full charge in less than an hour and a half, and I was pretty impressed with that. I mean, it had itself down under 15% because I do utilize my device for launching missiles and having all that other kind of crazy stuff. Thank you, Mr. Old School, again. But, you know, the quick charger does have its function, okay? And I can only see this being a situation where Samsung would proprietize a quick charger for the simple fact that that is what they do. Now, one big thing that the Samsung event overemphasized, in my opinion, it wasn't the processor, the fact that they're using their own processor. It was the camera. They spent way too much time talking about the beauty of the camera and the beautiful pictures the camera can take. You know, most people, yeah, now granted, don't get me wrong, a lot of people do take a lot of selfies, and they do utilize their camera for a lot of things, the camera that's built into their phone. But to spend a third of your presentation talking about a device camera and the other two-thirds talking about all the other things that you can that device can do, I think that's a little bit too much, but that is just my opinion, okay? The overall specs between the Galaxy S6 and the S6 Edge, it will launch with Android 5.0, which if you've been listening to me for any extended amount of time, 5.1 is on its way out. So the Samsung brand new Galaxy flagship device is going to be outdated out of the box very shortly. 5.1 is on its way out, actually on its way in. Some of the older Nexus 7 devices and the Android 1 devices are reporting receiving of this and just moving on, things of that nature. But like I said, it is going to have Android 5.1. Obviously, it's going to have TouchWiz. You guys can make that determination from there. Overall dimensions, 5.65 by 2.78 by 0.27 inches thin. It's going to be right on the margin of average when it comes to weight at 4.87 ounces. The average weight of a smartphone is 4.8 ounces right now, so this is right there in that particular margin. The body material is going to be made of aluminium or aluminum, depending on what side of the creek you live on. Physical screen side is 5.1 inches with the resolution of 1440 by 2560, giving you that HD display, and a 577 PPI. The screen is going to have a Super AMOLED and a 70.48 screen-to-body ratio, taking in all the colors you need, including multi-touch, as well as light sensors, proximity sensors, and Gorilla Glass 4. Good things being coming out of the Gorilla Glass 4 by chance, so lots of good things going that direction as well. The camera is going to have a dual-flash 16-megapixel shooter in the back with a 1.9 f-stop, which means very good low light. Okay, so if you do a lot of pictures in low light, that'll work out very well for you. 5 megapixel shooter in the front for those of you who are selfie obsessed. The processor is a 2100 megahertz 68-bit 8-core. And yeah, it's looking kind of cool. I mean, it's a powerhouse of a core, of a processor. But previous discussions concerning this, in order to keep up with the operating system and to beat the lag that TouchWiz has, you need an aux of a processor, okay? There's going to be 3 megs of RAM built into this thing, and as I said, all the way up to 128 gigs internal. 2550 mAh battery, it's a little low, okay, compared to some of the devices that are out there. But they do have their quick charger that's built into it, things of that nature. Wireless charging is built in, as I said, both brands, as well as all of the resident bands and connections you might need. Now, I haven't been to Barcelona, whatever, however you want to call it. I haven't been there to actually handle this device, but Gizmodo has been out there, Android Police has been out there. The folks from Twit have been out there. Plenty of reviewers have been on with this device. And I have been reading articles concerning both of these devices. The difference between the Galaxy S6 and the S6 Edge. The Edge obviously is going to have the wraparound screen. And instead of it being just on one side like last year's series was, this is going to be on both sides. Now, I did have an opportunity to handle the Note 4 Edge, and that looked pretty sharp. It looked cool. I'm not quite sure what the S6 Edge is going to look like, but we'll just have to wait and see exactly what is going to go on from there. Overall review, nice looking, nice to feel. The Samsung operating system obviously is clunky. And even right there, their demo unit. Those who know what they're looking for in the functionality of a device, were saying the TouchWiz, even now, with their Exynos octa-core processor, was laggy, okay? So, fresh out of the box, your device is going to lag, okay? But, it's Samsung's new flagship. They've said all the devices that come out, they need to be overwhelming. Looking at these specs going down this line, watching their keynote presentation, I wasn't overwhelmed with this, okay? As I said, they spent way too much time talking about the camera and not enough time talking about the other stuff that would be important. They could have spent more time talking about Samsung Pay. They could have spent more time talking about Samsung Knox, okay? I mean, they talked about S-Knox, you know, the secure compatibility, the enterprise portion of their operating system. They spent maybe 5, maybe 10 minutes talking about S-Knox, and there wasn't even that much for them to talk about. And it just, you know, too much time talking about the camera, not enough time talking about the other stuff is a little irritating. On the flip side of that, HTC came on the scene and they debuted the HTC M9. Now, the M9 is going to the new Sense, which, as a former HTC user, my wife uses an HTC M7, and Sense is real snappy. Sense looks good. I mean, it's lean, it's light, it's easy to function, it's easy to get along with, and just overall, Sense is an easy run. Easy to take care of, easy to handle, light on the processor, and it's very responsive. The new Sense 7 is supposed to incorporate what's called contextual apps and contextual accounts. So based on where you are, whether you're at work or whether you're at home, it is going to offer apps, and it will detect that based, I presume, either on by geolocking or Wi-Fi tracking. I'm not sure which yet. But it's going to determine what apps you're going to use based on your location. So, for example, if I'm at school and I use Keep for keeping notes and voice recorder and we'll just say Google Drive for various other things, when I'm on school campus, on school Wi-Fi, it'll pop these apps up and make them dominant. Whereas if I'm at home doing something else, maybe it'll pop up Chrome or pop up Hangouts or maybe even pop up my audio recording software for things of that nature. You know, it would change that offering based on where I was. Now, all the apps would still be would still be accessible through the app drawer, but these contextual apps are something that is going to be exciting with the new HTC Sense. Now, the M9, as I said, it was announced this past Sunday on the 1st. Not too awful impressive spec-wise. I mean, to be completely honest, the specs are top of the line, but these specs could have easily been squeezed into the M8, and they could have made a move that way. So you're looking at 144.6 by 69.7 by 9.61 millimeters in size, 157 grams in weight. It's got a 5-inch display with full 1080p that's available on it. As I said, it is going to have Android 5.0 with HTC Sense. It's going to have the Snapdragon 810 octa-core processor with 4 gigs of memory and 64 gig processing. Now, this is going to have 64-bit. 32 gigs on board, all the way up to 64, depending on your flavor. 3 gigs of RAM with an SD card capability. Optional cards, you know, obviously you'll go up to 128 gigs if you want to, with all the resident hookups that you need. It will take a nano SIM, as well as having all the resident sensors that one might need as well. This will continue to have the boom sound front-facing speakers, 20 megapixel camera in the back, with 4K capability and a 1080p front ultra pixel. So the story behind this, HTC's been listening to their customers. A lot of customers raising Cain about, well, you know, we don't want ultra pixels in the back. We want megapixels. So they put megapixels in the back, 20 megapixels for that 1080p experience, and ultra pixels in the front for that low power experience, or for that low light experience. Both cameras are capable of 1080p recording. It's going to have a 2840 mAh battery. You're looking at a 25.4 hour full-time usage, depending on what band you're on, give or take a little bit. No word on this as to whether or not it is a quick charging or if there is going to be wireless charging available. Looking at the adapter specs, it is just a 5-volt, 1.5-amp charger. So if you plug a 2-amp into it or a 2.1, it is going to help and speed that up a little bit. So that's what we got from Mobile World Congress right now. Those were the two big things I'm looking for. Lots of other neat stuff going on right now with Mobile World Congress. And I'll have more of that available. I mean, Acer's made a release. Let's see, who else? Blackphone, actually. They've got two devices that are out. The Blackphone 2 was announced and released, as well as the Blackphone Plus. And this kind of made my eyebrows go up, because the Blackphone Plus, it's a 7-inch device, and it's designed initially to be a tablet, but there's a lot of people using them as a phone. Now, going back to previous statements and discussions concerning this, 7 inches is too big. I mean, I am a Google Voice user, so when my phone rings, my tablet rings, my laptop rings, and just about everything else that I've got Google Voice on rings. And when my tablet rings, if I answer it, holding that thing up to my ear is just too much. Now, I'm really thinking that the 5.9, which is what the Nexus 6 is, that's where I'm going to stay. I think that is big enough for me. And the next devices that come out, I'm really not going to be able to advocate for them, because anything beyond this is just too big. Too big. Sorry. But the folks at Blackphone, they do have two new devices that are going to be coming out sometime by summer. Acer, they've been on the books. They cited three different types of phones and fitness trackers, as well as ZTE. There's a company I haven't said too awful often. ZTE with their Blade 6 Plus. They're going to be making an appearance in the summertime, as well as many, many wearables. LG announced their Urbane, which is supposed to be compatible with all types of operating system. It's going to have a WebOS base, and so it's going to be compatible not only with iOS, but also Android and Windows and even BlackBerry. So check that out if that's something that you're interested in. The folks at Pebble, yeah, check this out. Pebble, they have a new device that they've announced, and as of the time of this recording, they've been open a little over a week, and they have 64,000 backers for over 16 billion. That's a B, boys and girls. $16 billion. And they still have time left to go. They've got about 3 weeks left on their Kickstarter. But the Pebble Time is what this is called. This is a color e-paper smartwatch. Battery is exclaimed to last approximately 7 days, and it totally changes the way that you would interface with your mobile device. So Pebble Time and the new Timeline interface. This is something that I was looking at, and if I advocated for wearables, I would definitely be on board with this one. I've been kind of borderline on wearables for quite a while, just the simple fact that I haven't found one that works the way that I want it to yet. And until that actually happens, I'm just going to kind of sit back. I'm the kind of guy where I'm on a budget. I need to be able to hold on to my funds and be able to take care of things. And you know, wearables, watches, things of that nature, they're not where they need to be for me yet, okay? There's still way too many questions and variables that are in play. There's still quite a few things that are right on it. And so I'm waiting patiently. I mean, when the right one comes out, I will definitely be on this one, and I can definitely move on and get myself a wearable at that point in time. Now, I did mention the LG. It's the addition to the G-Watch, the Urbane. This is one of those devices, you remember way back, I pretty much buried Samsung because they tried to put a phone on your wrist. Yeah, LG did the same thing. But this one looks a little bit better. It's a little bit more stylish. It has a little bit easier look. It doesn't look like they took a phone, cut it in half, and slapped it on your wrist. This actually resembles a watch. This is LTE compatible with a 1.2 Qualcomm Snapdragon processor on it, a 1.3-inch OLED for 320 by 320 at a 245 PPI. It's got 1 gig of memory on it, and you can upgrade that to 4 gigs with the memory chip. All the resident sensors, gyroscope, accelerometer, compass, barometric pressure, heart rate sensor, GPS, pedometer, all that kind of great stuff built into it right there on your wrist. It is IP67 certified with a 700 mAh battery with all the resident connectivity, including Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, NFC, coming in two colors right now, silver and black. I'm sure by the time they get to the release date, they'll have like super space gray and midnight black or something like that, when they don't really realize that midnight black is actually an oxymoron because midnight is actually blue. But anyhow, overall impression of the Urbane, it looks good, it looks neat, it looks sharp. Based on the images and the reviews that I've read on it so far, I still don't understand why anybody wants to put a phone on their wrist, to be completely honest. I mean, I just don't, it doesn't compute to me yet, but maybe there'll be a use case scenario that comes out with this. Last story I'm going to get into before I get into some feedback here, and the folks at Gizmodo, yes, Gizmodo, reputable review site. I got a website from them concerning a device. It's a wearable, okay, hear me out, it is a wearable that lets you charge your gadgets, okay, and their whole belief behind this is loving your planet. So obviously you'd have you'd be going green, right? You could be cutting down on the amount of fossil fuels and all that kind of good stuff and crazy things of that nature. So loving your planet by loving yourself. Think about that a minute. Love your planet by loving yourself. This, ladies and gentlemen, is a wearable that is being produced by the innovators at Pornhub. That's right, you heard me, Pornhub. They are producing the Wank Band. www.wankband.com. The power in your hand. Put it all together, folks. If your kids don't understand, tell them they'll understand when they're older. But right now, this is a big thing, because right now they are looking for what they're referring to as beta testers, and believe it or not, I watched this and this piqued my interest, because their whole thing, quote, every day millions of hours of adult content are consumed online, wasting energy in the process and hurting the environment. At Pornhub, we decided to do something about it, introducing the Wank Band, the first wearable tech that allows you to love the planet by loving yourself. Now, it is a battery charger, obviously, that you wear on your wrist. There's a kinetic charging module inside of it, and as a particular motion is achieved, it causes the charging within the band. Now, this is still in beta testing. It's still in development, okay? But if you go all the way down to the bottom of the page, there is a place where you can, quote, sign up for the beta program. They also call it their dirty power program. But, you know, it's the type of thing. It looks like a cool-looking wearable. I mean, it looks like a little battery pack that you'd wear on your watch, maybe like a wearable or a Fitbit or something of that nature. It looks cool, and the belief behind it is actually quite funny. The fact that it's put out by Pornhub amuses me, and the fact that it got the nod from Gizmodo also amuses me. So this is something I'm going to keep an eye on this one, because you know, if anybody can do it, Pornhub can. I mean, I don't say that lightly, but this is actually something that that could do a lot of people a lot of good for a lot of different reasons. Last story I'm going to get into, this is actually a feedback story right here, before things get too carried away from me. Hey, Piper the DJ, I've been listening to your stories and listening to the various things that you do. This, by the way, is an individual that I go to school with. He's in a couple of my classes. Found this story and I thought of you. Read this after you go over the story. So the headline of the story, and this story did come into me before last week, but for those that are Catholic, Lent has begun, okay? That's where you give something up for X amount of days as more of a physical cleansing of yourself and things of that nature. So the folks at INC, they produced an article about, quote, here's your 7-step guide to doing a technology cleanse for Lent, unquote. Now, this is designed for the individual where technology is just too much in your life, where it's too dominant in your life. It's too much, okay? Where maybe you don't rely on it, but if you put your phone down, step away, do you find yourself something missing, okay? If you're finding yourself in constant need of that communication, perhaps it's time to step away from technology a little bit. Now, every year, people vow to give up technology for Lent. I'll tell you that. I know quite a few people that do, and there's always something that makes them go back on it for whatever reason. And I know that a lot of people are understanding, or maybe they're a little bit lenient when it comes to things of that nature. But following 7 steps coming out in an effort to help you maintain your sanity in your time of Lent. Number one, let everybody in your world know that you'll be off the grid, meaning your mobile technology will no longer be capable, whether you remove your email off of your phone. I'm not saying downgrade your device, because a lot of people, they spend a lot of money on their devices and their requirement for something like that. But let people know, hey, look, I'm not going to be mobile anymore. If you need to email me, get a hold of me at my desktop, okay? Please don't text me. Please don't Facebook me or email me and expect me to get it right away. You know, these things are only going to be accessible to me in a particular moment in time, usually when I'm at a desktop, or when I'm at home and I have access to a tablet or something of that nature. So make sure you have that taken care of and in place. Number two, create an, quote, in case of emergency, break glass system, end quote. So everybody's been in that situation where it's 3 o'clock in the morning, you're driving home, and you're just in a situation where you're at a hotel, the phone's gone, maybe something's come up missing or something of that nature, and you just have to get on and do it. Well, that's fine under certain circumstances, okay? Everything can be admissible. It's just not the everyday, regular, this is the way it is. Something different, right? Number three, practice a partial cleanse before going cold turkey. Some people can't do it. I'll tell you that. They're just so addicted to their technology, they can't do it. But one suggestion that's here is practice going into airplane mode for a few hours a day to see if you can do it, if you're not grasping someplace else for these necessities that you take for granted, okay? Put your device in airplane mode. Airplane mode will shut off pretty much everything on the phone. You'll still be able to receive some text messages and, in certain cases, phone calls, but your data will be shut off. If you don't want to go that far, go into your device and shut off your data sync and see if you can make it through time without that, without constantly reaching for your phone to check your email, okay? Number four, unsubscribe from email and particular notifications. That goes back to number three, kind of, partial cleanse. Separate device stress from its comforts. Now, a lot of people use their devices for recreation. I'm one of them. I play games on my device. I watch YouTube videos on my devices. I do audio editing on my device. I do video editing on my device. You know, just various things like that. So separate the things that stress you out, for example, business email, from the things you should do for fun, social media, texting, things of that nature, listening to music, things like that. Number six, make sure the time is right. Some people are just in situations, they have lifestyles where they can't do it. I mean, if I was still on call, I spent quite a bit of time on call. I had a cell phone on one hip, a pager on the other, okay? If I was still on call and I was in a position where I was required to answer the phone in X amount of minutes, which is what it usually was, this would be impractical for me, okay? Because if I'm out running with the family or something of that nature, it wouldn't be able to be done. So make sure you're evaluating yourself, evaluating your life, as well as evaluating things that are around you to make sure that the timing is right for this. Make sure, once again, as I said with number one, make sure people know that you're going to be off the grid, okay? Make sure that, hey, look, you know, I'll be at my desk 8 hours during the day, you know, off and on throughout the night, da-da-da-da. Make sure that people can accommodate things of that nature. And think worst-case scenario, okay? If the entire server farm goes down, can you get on with me until I get back to my computer? Answer yes or no. And then rehearse, practice. What are you going to do when you start to get nervous? A lot of people, they use their mobile phone as a pacifier, as an appeasement, a way to get by, a way to get from one day to the 1 minute to the next. They use it as a distraction. You know, what are you going to do? What's going to be your distraction outside of this? And then the response that I got from Marty concerning this was, hey, I think you need to give up Google now for Lent, because saying okay Google in the middle of class is turning you into a resultant know-it-all, and you're also being a pain in the ass. LOL. So I do have opportunities where in particular classes a teacher will ask for particular information, and I do actually have a couple professors where they encourage the use of technology during class, just as long as it's pertaining to what we're talking about. And I've actually had one look at me and say, hey, you know the answer to this, or if you don't, you can get it. And they'll ask me the question, and I'll turn to my phone and say, okay, Google, and I'll ask the question, and sure enough, Google will come back with the answer. So, you know, obviously, some people are getting annoyed by my having all the readily answered answers, but, you know, that's something that's interesting nonetheless. A new Case company is on the front. Case-mate.com. Now, these guys, when they first hit the scene a while back, I kind of wrote them off. But they are a supporter and an advocate for the Naked Movement. Now, remember a few months back, the Naked Movement is a group of people that are going out who refuse to put their devices in a case so they can show it up or show it off, right? These folks at Casemate, they have developed a very hard, clear case, solidly clear, shock-resistant, clear, to support the Naked Movement. And you can find this at casemate.com. It's a sharp-looking device. Honestly, it doesn't look very durable to me, per se, but it does look like something that would be interesting for somebody if they were interested in the Naked Tough look. They do have it available for the Galaxy S6 Edge at $35 US. If you look at it, it looks kind of cool. I mean, you know, they've got the solid black, they've got the glam, but then they also have the Tough case. The Tough Naked case is what they're calling it. And you know, it's basically just a clear frame. It's supposed to provide that extra protection that you need for your device. And it's also supposed to be something that is available that you can utilize for your device in an effort to keep it safe, so you can still show off that pretty device instead of having to worry about, you know, getting a scratch or breaking your screen or something like that. It's still the worst thing for me to see, folks. Hardest thing for me to see. When somebody, when I see somebody on their device and it's got a cracked screen, okay, it's still the biggest pain for me, because it's so easy to prevent something like that. All it takes is a little case, boom, done, okay? All it takes is a little case, and then you don't have to worry about it. And it's painful when I see people walking around with these flagship devices, S4, S5, S6, iPhone 5, iPhone 6, iPhone 6 Plus. Yes, I've seen an iPhone 6 Plus with a cracked screen. It's painful to look at, okay? Especially when I know how easily it could have been prevented, okay? These guys, Casemate.com, they are advocates for the Naked Movement. They make a case just for you, and it's cheap. Less than $50, hook you up. Out the door, okay? These guys, they do have stuff on Amazon. You can also order stuff directly off of their website as well. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is going to put a wrap on me for episode 99 right here on the TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. What have I been saying for I don't know how long? Just check in every day, because you never know what's going to be trending next. We are the Trending Topics Network. We are the home of the hashtag. We have anything and everything you need, okay? Many experts say if you practice anything for 28 days, it'll either become or not become a habit. Check in the Trending Topics Network every day. Program it into your RSS reader. Program it into your podcast manager. Just download everything that we have, because we've got a lot of great stuff. Do you like public forums, shows about movies, shows about women, shows about technology, shows about men, shows about games, professional wrestling, current events, satire, you name it, folks. We've got it all right here on the Trending Topics Network. Make sure you check it in every day, because you never know what's going to be trending next. And next one is 100, folks. And I've got people that are interested in coming on for episode 100. I'm still going to be organizing that meeting to get that all situated and taken care of, because it's going to be a little bit different from what's going on currently. But episode 100, expect a good one, folks. I've already got Mr. Old School saying that he wants to jump in and raise some hell with me. Only One Mark says he wants to jump in and raise some hell. Obi-Wan Jabroni, he's a little bit fired up. I think he's going through some podcast withdrawal or something of that nature. Anybody else interested on jumping in, hit me up, piperthedj@gmail.com. You can find me right here, well, as often as possible. Granted, midterms have been kind of difficult, but I am doing the best I can to recover from there. From all of us to all of you on the mobile scene, I am Piper the DJ, taking a bite out of the mobile space. Good night.